We have been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I had this whole outline for 8 weeks of messages about the Holy Spirit, and every single week, maybe I pray it's the Holy Spirit who says no. With what's going on in the world, you need to hear this. People need to hear that. You need to hear that is half of what God is saying to me. And so we've talked about how the Holy Spirit was with us at the very beginning, hovering over the chaos, the face of the deep. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. How the Holy Spirit in the middle of history, Jesus says, will well up in the one who believes in me, like streams, rivers of living water will flow out of that person. And then finally, in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit and the bride of Christ, who is the church, say, come. To all who are thirsty, come. That is our story. That is the journey from beginning to end that God has called us to. Last week we talked about how the church in Antioch, which was multiracial, was the church that launched so much of the missions that have enabled all of us to be here. And that church experience, the Holy Spirit led them to that when the church was fasting and when the church was praying. And I've had a handful of people come up to me and tell me, this fast was amazing. It gave me so much time. When somebody chose to fast from their phone. Somebody chose to fast from social media. People deleted Facebook. People in so many different ways found a way to reclaim that. Because remember, Christianity, different from other religions or other philosophies of the day, says not every desire that is in you is one that God wants you to fulfill. That is so opposite of our world. And so today we are looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, what kind of power in June of 2020 could stop racism? What kind of power could stop violence? What kind of power could stop hatred? What kind of power could stop conflicts? What kind of power could stop poverty? What kind of power could stop systemic hatred and the challenges that come with it? What kind of power could be ours? The power of education? We're a pretty educated country, and we're a mess in a lot of ways. The powers of laws and government? The power to overthrow the government, like the protest zone in Seattle going on right now? The power of technology? No, because of the inherent flaw within ourselves. We can't out-educate ourselves. We can't out-do ourselves with technology. We can't outthink ourselves. It reminds me of a story that happened over 100 years ago when the Times of London said, what's wrong with the world? And they asked famous authors all over the world, what is wrong with the world? And they wrote these long responses. But one response out of all history is what everybody remembers. And it was written by G.K. Chesterton, an amazing author and a preacher. What's wrong with the world? G.K. Chesterton wrote into the Times, I am, and signed his name. You know, as I think about how the Holy Spirit has been doing a number on me these days, and what I want for the Holy Spirit to happen in the world, it's equally an issue of what the Holy Spirit needs to do in me. So is there a power great enough to tear down the strongholds of racism and violence and hatred and conflicts and poverty and systemic hatred? Yes. All while offering love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That same power is able to tear down not just the walls out there, but the walls in me. Put enough walls around every single person, and you have a problem. To put it in perspective, the kind of power that's needed. You know, it was just less than a month ago, Saturday, May 30th, that the SpaceX crew, the Dragon, was the first private spacecraft to carry humans into orbit, the first launch from the United States in a long, long time. And I don't know about the details of that spacecraft, but once upon a time, there was a thing called the space shuttle. It was amazing because it would go up and it would come down not destroyed. It would launch from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The shuttle weighed 4.5 million pounds. Think of that number, 4.5 million pounds. How on earth are you going to get something that weighs 4.5 million pounds from Earth far enough into outer space to make it into orbit? Well, the answer is power, of course. You need power, an enormous amount of power. 7 million pounds of thrust is what the space shuttle took. The rockets that produced, that pushed the space shuttle from Earth upward could give that much power. That's power. That's just the amount of power it took to get one space shuttle into orbit. How much power does it take to create the universe? How much power does it take to maintain the galaxies, the stars in their places, the solar system, and all of that? How much power does it take to save a soul? How much power does it take for God to use people like you and me? The answer is it takes an enormous, God-sized amount of power. The good news is that Jesus promised this kind of power when he sent the Holy Spirit. The bad news? We don't experience the Holy Spirit in our lives, even many of us who are Christ followers. And never mind what the lack of the spiritual power does in the life of the church. Look at what it's doing to our world. When the followers of the living God do not connect or understand or live into the kind of power that is necessary for all the isms that we have named. The opportunity cost of us going through the rest of our lives ignorant of the power of the Holy Spirit is too great. We must recover from our starvation and recover the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the life that you can have beginning today. I love what Carl Jennings said. He said, it hit me so hard this week. Over the last 3 weeks, as you've been talking about the Holy Spirit, I've been praying, Holy Spirit, come. And beginning his prayer time that way and walking into situations with the Holy Spirit on his mind. And he said, this is so different for me and it has awakened me to a whole new reality. And this is Carl Jennings, who's been a Christ follower for decades. You know, he said, in my mind, before we launched into this Spirit-driven series, in my mind, I had 25% of God was the Father, Creator, and 75% of God was Jesus for me. And the Holy Spirit, I'd say in the creeds or read in the Bible, but it never meant anything to me. That's what we're talking about. He's begun praying for the Holy Spirit and to learn the ministry of the Holy Spirit from Jesus himself this morning. Jesus was eating the Last Supper with his disciples. Everything was starting to go wrong in the disciples' minds. The betrayal of Judas, he was off meeting with the high priests in order to arrest Jesus. The crowds were leaving because Jesus has hard teachings. And the disciples are freaked out in the upper room when Jesus told them about the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles with you, John 14, verse 16 is where we're picking up. John writes this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him for he lives with you and will be in you. This word, another advocate, is so inadequate to describe the immensity of the power of Christ. We think of advocate, we think of one thing. Jesus says another advocate, though. Here, is this someone else other than Jesus? The word another in a Greek can mean two things. It means I tasted this chocolate candy, I don't like it, I'm going to get another, other kind. But the word that Jesus uses here, I'm going to bring you another Holy Spirit, is I ate this chocolate bar, it is so good, I'm buying another one exactly the same. And then he uses this word that gets translated as advocate, helper. It gets translated as comforter. It gets translated as counselor. You could translate it as coach. You could translate it as friend or as healer. But the word is parakletos. Parakletos. Para means right next to. In other words, closer than your next breath next to. And kletas means someone is called for a specific purpose. So do you see what this means? It means, as important as Jesus was, and sometimes don't you think, oh, I wish I were one of the disciples, and Jesus would just tell me what he wants me to do. But Jesus is saying, as important as I am to you in this upper room, my Holy Spirit is exactly the same to us today in 2020. Exactly the same. The advocate hardly does it justice. Yes, Jesus advocates for people, but other English translations list all these other words. Comforter, but my problem was that made me think of my blankets. Counselor, the problem was that made me think of my high school guidance counselor that I had to go see once a year. And I'm like, why am I here? Helper, which usually means the way my kids helped me rake the grass, when rake the lawn when they were little, or rake the leaves. It wasn't that helpful. I just want to do it on my own. But God is saying, imagine a partner in crime. I don't like to do ministry without any partners in crime. And so I try to gather people in order to make it impactful. And that's who we seek to be. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. Other words you could add would be healer. I will send you the healer, the miracle worker, the revealer. Because God is a God who sees and wants us to see. The prophet, the pastor, the Lord, the friend, and the coach. Like Denise said, the coach isn't there to hit the ball or to sing a note for you, if it's a vocal coach. The coach is there so that you can hit the ball, so that you can sing the note, so that you can perform as you should. It's an empowering role. One other problem was in the late 1900s, we used the word sustainer, the creator, the redeemer, and the sustainer. Sustainer to me says nothing. It means nothing. And I actually wrote my dissertation on what if we, instead of use the word sustainer, use the word overflower. Because there's a dynamism in there, and it's throughout the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is God, called for a specific purpose, to be present with you in every situation in your life. Because whatever is going on inside you in your life and whatever is going on in our world, the Holy Spirit makes it about God. Racism, it's about God. Injustice, it's about God. That's why it hits so deep. COVID fatigue, it's about God. Online spew, it's about God, or against God, which makes it about God. Infanticide, about God. Poverty, it is about God. Because the Holy Spirit works in you for specific purposes. Remember Parakletos? The Holy Spirit works in you, with you, for specific purposes. The daily challenges that you face, not just the news. And remember, news is news because it's not normal. It's not normal. That's by very definition, Mitch Albom says, what makes it news. And the Holy Spirit works for specific purposes and daily challenges that you and I face and makes them about God too. Parenting, it's about God. The argument Lee and I got in last night, I had to shut myself down. This is as we're going to bed because we're like, what do we do if it rains? What do we do if it doesn't rain? And I just said, I got to go to bed. This is God's problem now. It's about God. Your marriage, about God. Your singleness, about God. Your corporate life, your job, it's about God. Even my finances, because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, it is about God. How you handle conflict, about God. Parenting, it's about God. The Spirit wants you to be about God, which changes everything. And then Jesus goes on to explain this ministry of the Holy Spirit, starting in John 16. This is still in the upper room. And the last words that Jesus has with his closest followers, he talks almost exclusively about the Holy Spirit. Look in John chapter 16, verse 7, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. The friend, the helper, the comforter, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because people do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. That makes no sense until you hear it this way. Convicting us concerning righteousness, because I am going to the Father. How did Jesus return to his Father? Via the cross. Paying the penalty for all our unrighteousness. All the best things that we can do still would never measure up. So because of righteousness, because Christ is going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And then thirdly, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world now stands condemned. The ruler of this world, the prince of this world, some translations say, now stands condemned. Because it is not of God. It is of all of itself. The core things that people are battling for apart from God will make very bad gods. This ministry of the Holy Spirit, then, is to chase after us, to convict us of sin, until we know Christ for ourselves and we put our faith in Him. The Holy Spirit also comes inside us until we understand our humility and our trust, knowing that in our best efforts, we are still in great need of Jesus' goodness to be found only in Him, in the sacrifice of His death and resurrection. To chase after us, to come inside us, and to fill us to overflowing, basically spilling His goodness, His obedience to the world around us. That's why everything in us, everything going on around us is of God, because God is on the move. We're not just supposed to be a contented person, which is what the church has been accused of. Rather than doing for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, like Jesus says. We're not just supposed to be filled with the sustainer, but the overflower. We're not supposed to be a contented person, we're supposed to be a conduit. We're not just supposed to be blessed, we're supposed to be a blessing. We're not just supposed to be a vessel that holds, we're supposed to be a channel through which the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. The problem is we gum up that channel that God works in and through us. We're supposed to, in other words, a way of looking at it is a flowing faith. You probably have met people who have a flowing faith. Do what they've done, is what I would say, in your own way, because God's made you a unique vessel. Today, though, I want to spend the rest of my time to zero in on the first ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus names, to come after us, to convict us of sin. When He comes, He'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because people do not believe in me. These are Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit just doesn't find us and come upon us after we put our faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit is wooing us the whole time, before we even know who God is. John Wesley called it prevenient grace. Prevenient. It goes before us. It's wooing us into a relationship with God. The Spirit was moving to make you curious about God in the first place, or to make you feel really bad, for you to do something really good, like put your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't you know the misery God can use in order that others would put their faith in Jesus Christ ends up being used by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is called the Hound of Heaven. And I had to look that term up. It comes from a poem in the 1800s by Francis Thompson. Francis Thompson was a med student in London. He was addicted to opium. He was contemplating suicide. There are 182 lines in this poem. And in this poem, he talks about how he ran hard. He ran away from God, but the Holy Spirit pursued him like a hound on the hunt. The Holy Spirit chased him. The Holy Spirit was with him. A couple lines from the poem. I fled down the night and the days, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, God just kept coming, unrelenting to chase me down and get a hold of my life. Have you enabled the Holy Spirit,
who will continue to come after you with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace to catch you like a hound of heaven. He's chasing you. Every time he gets close to you, you start feeling weird until or unless you realize, man, I'm in bad shape. You'll never look for help. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. In Matthew 9. So the ministry or the call of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. Now, interesting, the word convict the world of sin. Linda Vanderhagen and I were talking about the Holy Spirit. Linda Vanderhagen loves the Holy Spirit's ministry. And she was talking about how important it is that you understand this morning. It's not just convicting, it's convicting the world of sin, but it is not condemning you of anything. Your sin condemns you. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. The Holy Spirit does not belittle you. The Holy Spirit only convicts you. Any spirit of condemnation coming from online or from in your heart, any spirit of condemning is not the Holy Spirit of God. And as I peruse Facebook, how many condemning comments do we receive? Especially when we try to verbalize what's going on about COVID, racism, politics, injustice, or peace. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. That's why Paul writes to the Christ followers in Rome in chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It is a setting free. It is not a condemning. And by the way, this convicting other people of their sin, it's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not yours. It's not mine. We're not very good at it. When we try it, the conviction comes across as condemnation. The Holy Spirit drives people down to their deep need for help. And it's the Holy Spirit's job. Do you know 13-year-old Elizabeth sold a record number of 11,200 boxes of Girl Scout cookies? 11,200 boxes. And when she was interviewed, Elizabeth, young Elizabeth, said this, here's what you do. You look people in the eye and you make them feel guilty. That's how you sell Girl Scout cookies for Elizabeth. 11,200. Imagine having to distribute them all. It's sort of like our youth group with what they've got to do with the amount of bottles and cans that people collected over COVID. You look people eye and you make them feel guilty. That is not how you share Christ. It doesn't work. Notice too that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, not sins. It's singular. The Holy Spirit convicts you of the sin that your conscience will never convict you of, that our society will never convict you of. You may speed, you may lie, you may drink to excess, you may do all of these things. There's plenty of people who can convict you of that, but the Holy Spirit convinces you of the sin that your conscience or the world never will. And you know what that sin is? Unbelief. He'll convict the world of sin, Jesus says, because they do not believe in me. Most worldly people don't see unbelief as a bad thing. They see it as an intelligent thing. They don't see unbelief as a sin, but as a mark of intelligence. We admire people for their unbelief, for their going their own way, when they say, I don't need a crutch. But I think Jesus would say unbelief is the worst sin of all, because unbelief prevents people from being forgiven for every other sin. Let me say that again. I think Jesus would say unbelief is the worst sin of all, because unbelief prevents you from being forgiven from every other sin. What does this have to do with 2020 today? You know, there's a lot of talk today about repenting, convicting. In the race conversations, in political statements, so many people are putting out blanket statements, really.
But the Holy Spirit's ministry of repentance is not generic. It's not generically saying, I'm sorry, and then going on as if everything's okay, or entering some cycle. You do it, I'm sorry. You do it, I'm sorry. You do it, I'm sorry. You do that in a marriage for more than 5 minutes, your apology isn't going to go anywhere. You're not changed. That's not repentance. That's covering your excuses. Bonhoeffer says that's cheap grace. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. My aha that I think the Holy Spirit brought to me this week was this. Repentance is not about your past. It's not all about your past. It's about doing the 180 to your future. Repentance is not about your past, it's about your future. And there's change, there's newness that comes with true repentance. Repentance is about getting Jesus' storyline into your life. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is about getting Jesus' story into your life. You know, some of you are climbing a corporate ladder. Some of you are building on your finances. Some of you are just trying to make it. But I'm asking you, make the ministry of the Holy Spirit your story in your life. If all those other things are about God, don't you think your life then was designed to be about God? Make the ministry of the Holy Spirit your story at home, at work, in your free time, the beginning, the middle, and the end about God. For 2,000 years, interesting, we've watched the arena. We've salivated over people going to the arena to duke it out. From ancient gladiators to today. You know where I think the biggest arena is today? It's not the big house. What's going to happen with U of M football anyway this fall? The biggest arena today is not the big house. It's on Facebook. When someone enters that arena or Twitter or even Instagram and posts a comment, and then everybody starts duking it out. We salivate for that. That's clickbait. We watch people duke it out in the arena where the loser is left to die, so to speak, because we reflect our leaders. My prayer is that even the leadership of your life would be the Holy Spirit. And rather than reflect our leaders or reflect our news feeds, church, let's gather because we have a leader in common, and his name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has introduced us to him and the power that he offers us in our lives. Let that be your story, and begin with repentance of the Holy Spirit that can happen today. Let us pray. Almighty God, I thank you so much for your presence with us. And Lord, I pray that you would empower me in my inner life. What's wrong with the world, God? I am. And each one is. We need this rescue. We need this filling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I repent. I repent, God, in grief for things in my past. But I repent loving that repentance is not just about covering my past, but I'm loving my future with you. There are so many people in the sound of my voice that you are hounding, God, and we pray for them now that they would turn from themselves, they would turn from their other leaders, and they would be led by you, the God who sees, and that we would find our power for living today in you. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.